Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster in Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project who am I, Wara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait scare ya, Machado or Bono or Nolan Garandito.
Four games on the schedule yesterday, but still a lot to talk about on a beautiful, lovely, wonderful, warm Kokomo Friday. On September 7th, Adam Azer and Scott White. No surprise. Hi, Scott.
No surprise that we're not joined by any of our furry friends.
Right?
They both have fur on their face. I think that's an apt description.
That's true. You're 100% right. Yeah, no yeah. Heath, no Chris. But you know what? Scott and I are here to help you win your league by telling you who not to start in Fantasy Week 25 and also telling you who to start in Fantasy Week 25. We'll look at two-star pitchers. We'll look at the most added list. We'll recap yesterday. I'm going to tell you somebody that I'm just not going to draft next year. I'm just not interested in it. Let's start, though, with an email. A lot of emails today. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. This is from Patrick. And he says, hey, Tom, Ron, Chris, and Ben.
Tom, Ron, Chris, and Ben, that's Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Very, very common names
yeah.
for male characters in that one.
It is getting to crunch time where every spot counts, and I want to know which big names can we safely move on from for the playoff run. Votto comes to mind, but I have Severino, and he's killing me in all pitching categories to the point where I'm more excited to start Clay freaking Buchholz over him.
Woo!
Who are some big names that you are ready to move on from for the stretch run, Scott?
I actually wrote an article about this a week or so ago. It was specifically focused on pitchers. So I'd like to pull that up rather than just try and go off the top of my head. But
I can give you some names while you
go
pull
ahead.
That up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, maybe not in a points league, but Joey Votto. I don't think you have to bench him. All of these guys that I'm going to say, not all, but many of them have a lot of potential. Like, you could leave Votto on your bench, you could have a huge week. But he is facing, I've never seen anything like this, Scott. In my life, it's never happened. Six lefties next week. Hill, Ryu, Kershaw, Hamels, Montgomery, Quintana.
Now, allegedly.
Allegedly. It could change. But he's going to face a lot of lefties. He is slugging .322 against lefties this week. I'm going to tell
weird.
You to sit this year. I'm going to tell you to sit Joey Votto next week. He hasn't earned it. He hasn't earned it. He's 9 home runs.
Well, you came prepared to talk about that one.
I came prepared to talk about a lot of them.
Yeah. That's interesting. And has he been hitting well since returning from the DL?
He's 7 for 28 with one extra base hit, and it's a double.
It'd be hard to do in points leagues because he walks so much, but I could certainly understand categories leagues sitting him. Yeah, I mean, with high-end players like that, it's like if they turn on a dime, you're going to wish you still had them. So moving on, I don't know that it necessarily means dropping when you're talking somebody that high-end. And I'm reminded of that because I led this particular article with Chris Archer, and then he follows up with, you know, his best start since joining the Pirates. And now it's like, well, is he usable again still? I don't know. Certainly, I'd like to have him around at least. But Jose Barrios, I think, is in the discussion for players who you just shouldn't count on them helping you anymore. Maybe that's a better way to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Jose Barrios, I don't know what's wrong with him, but clearly things have gone wrong here lately.
Yeah, I, as far as this emailer is concerned, I, I think we discussed we're going to start Severino in his next start.
Yes, because the matchup's so good. And, you know, he's been pretty good, with the exception of the last start where he had all kinds of issues with signs and just having his pitches caught by Gary Sanchez. With the exception of that, he's been fine recently. You know, a lot of it has to do with taking advantage of good matchups, but he's going to have another one of those. So, yeah, I think you have to start him. You know, I'm done with Sean Newcomb. That's somebody we've talked about before. I don't know how high end he is. I'm done with Jose Quintana, even though his last couple starts have been quality starts. It's just the good starts haven't been good enough to justify all the bad.
Okay, I got some hitters I can throw out there.
Sure.
Well, you look at the lefties and Scooter Jeanette. Now, he's doing fine against lefties. I mean, he's batting .303, .480 slugging. But Jeanette may also face six lefties next week. Now, I would have the decision. I can't imagine I'm taking him out of my lineup, but I did notice they haven't faced a ton of lefties lately, but he sat against a lefty yesterday, and Jeanette has sat against two of the last three left-handed pitchers, which just wasn't the norm. So I don't know if it's like giving him a little rest or what, but it's bothering me.
Yeah. It's bothersome.
Yeah,
I'm going to start. I don't know that you're going to be able to find a great second base alternative on waivers in most leagues.
Yeah.
So you probably just run him out there.
All right, Andrew McCutchen is 1-for-16 with 2 walks and 5 strikeouts with the Yankees. I know all the peripheral data is great, and I just don't know that it's warranted. I don't know that you have to stick with him.
I don't know that you have to either. It's a deep position, obviously. A lot of alternatives. On waivers or otherwise.
That's McCutchen.
But I think better times are ahead here. I think he has a strong finish with the Yankees. That's just
I hope.
Hunch.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I was thinking that, but he's 1-for-16. Juan Soto. Like, I'm not going to sit him, but if I were loaded, it's the playoffs. You got great teams. You got to score a lot of points. I mean, Juan Soto has 3 home runs in his last 38 games and 41 strikeouts.
So then in the past month, about a month ago, I took up 2 causes and argued for them with vein-popping passion. One of them was Jose Berríos is a borderline ace. One of them is Juan Soto is a far better Rookie of the Year choice than Ronald Acuña. And they've both gone disastrously wrong since then, because Acuña, of course, well, we just talked about Berríos. Acuña, of course, had by far his best month in August, and Soto had by far his worst month in August. And he's striking out a lot more. He has a batted ball profile that's a little concerning, as one emailer pointed out about that time.
With the ground balls.
Kind of dismissed. Yeah, a lot of ground balls, not a lot of fly balls. You know, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how both Soto and Acuña end the season. I think they're both basically must start. Obviously, Acuña is right now. But after the months they just had, their draft status for 2019 is very much up in the air. I think the last month's going to tell a lot as far as that goes.
Yeah. Soto, I mean, look, he's struggling in his last 38 games, .276 with a .403 slugging percentage. But he actually has a .412 on base percentage. So one thing we like to see when a guy is struggling is he still drawing walks.
Yeah, he's going to be great in points leagues either way. I question the home run production, at least at this stage of his career. And, you know, if he begins to strike out more and isn't such a sure thing in batting average, it's really the categories leagues where I worry that he might be less than high end. I mean, that's really what the concern is for Soto. Like, for, you know, there was a time where we were talking about him as like a top 10 outfielder. Is he that? Is he top 20? Is he outside the top 20? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm going to probably stick with him because it is a points league, but I can understand the frustration in a categories league with average, because he's just, you know, he's not doing that much with the bat. Billy Hamilton has not stolen a base in nearly a month, August 11th. He's 0-for-4 in that stretch. Problem is, if you sit Hamilton, he could easily have a 7-steal week. But his, you know, he's just such a bad hitter. I'm thinking about moving on from Yasmani Grandal. Not the easiest position to replace, obviously, but he's 1-for-11 in September. He batted 162 in August, so he's just been dreadful for a month and 5 weeks or so. Five total weeks, not a month and 5 weeks. Seven games, though, for Grandal next week, and not bad matchups. And I can't blame anyone if they want to sit Wilson Contreras or even drop Wilson Contreras since the All-Star. Look at this slash line since the All-Star break. 211, 308 on base. It's a good walk rate. 297 slugging percentage. He is not even slugging 300 since the All-Star break. That's 39 games. That's pathetic for Wilson Contreras.
It's not good. It's not what you want to see. And you know what's interesting? I actually had somebody ask me over Twitter, Wilson Contreras or Francisco Mejia, rest of season. And I wasn't sure how to answer.
Well, Contreras is going to get a lot more plate appearances. A lot more. You'd think. I mean, what I read yesterday was even after the two-homer game that they expect Mejia. This was the AP writer. I don't know what he was basing it on.
Foreknowledge. Yeah. I mean, that's the line the Padres were taking, that it'd be about a 50-50
Yeah,
split,
that's what
right?
he said, 50-50.
But it wasn't a reaction. You know, afterward, Andy Green was saying, you know, there's a good chance Mejia's in the lineup again Friday after the two-homer game. You know, he has another big game. The plans are the plans until they're not the plans anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And he may just quickly show he deserves a bigger share of that timeshare.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely a popular player right now. And then two more guys, AJ Pollock, if you want to sit him, feel free. If you dropped AJ Pollock, I wouldn't pick him up unless it were a five outfielder league. He's batting 237 with one steal in 53 games since coming off the DL. And then last one for me, I'm not a big Andrelton Simmons guy. I think he's fine in points, but he's barely walking. In Roto, he's not stealing. I just don't think he's a very good hitter. This is 2 years in a row where he's basically going to get like all of his hitting stats in a short period. Scott, I don't think agrees, but just come up with another
Roto,
game.
I mean, if you're talking about a categories league with the head-to-head lineup, it's just Roto leagues, you have that extra middle infield spot to fill. I'm not saying he's must-start. He's not. But if every owner is actively participating and you're optimizing 24 or 36 total middle infield spots between 12 teams, he probably deserves to start for somebody.
Yeah, I mean, there are categories leagues, like with one shortstop spot. I'm not really a big Simmons guy, especially when he's not running. All right, so there you go. There you have it. Scott gave you some pitchers. I gave you some hitters. And we move on to email of the day number two. It's from Mark in Kansas City. Dear Nick and Matt. Okay.
What the heck? Kids in my kindergarten class? I don't know.
I'm packing it in this year in my Dynasty League. Not your fault. Don't take it personally. Who are some targets that I can pick up now before the end of the year that might have more value next year?
Ooh.
Maybe Jairus Familia and Zach Britton could close next year.
This is a fun question that's going to be very difficult to answer on top of mind.
Well, I think both those guys are good calls.
Yeah. It's probably too late for Tyler White. He's probably picked up already. And I'd assume in a Dynasty League, prospects like Kyle Tucker, big prospects are already rostered too. Yeah, that's a tough one to answer top of mind. Do you have any more names?
No, like, not really. I was just thinking some prospects that might make their way. I mean, obviously, I always default to the Yankees, but Clint Frazier, I'm sure he's owned in a Dynasty League.
Yeah, I mean, Brent Honeywell maybe is out there because it's just when people say Dynasty League, they don't always mean the same thing. So that makes it tricky, too, and I don't want to just name a bunch of big prospects that may obviously be already owned. Oh, but, you know, Jonathan Loaisiga is a guy I'm really excited about for next year. The Yankees are going to lose most of their rotation to free agency. So I think he's a lock to be there. But again, he's kind of a prospect. So,
see, even Scott always defaults to Yankees.
Yankees?
Yeah.
No, I really am. I think Luis is good.
I do too. I like him.
Good.
I like him a lot more than Domingo Herman.
Yeah. An under-the-radar prospect who probably isn't going to have a job out of spring training, but check out his minor league numbers this year, is Nathaniel Lowe. in the Rays organization. They have so many Lows there. Some of them are even Lows.
Some of them are Lows.
Yeah, but Nathaniel Lowe, first baseman, who hit like 330 with a 1,000 OPS in the upper minors this year. Check him out.
All right, let's take a look at our favorite two-star pitchers that are available in a decent amount of leagues for next week, Scott. It's a pretty good list. And this is the time of year where someone who's like 85% owned it just seems like that guy could be available in more of your leagues. So there are so few people that are participating in the waiver wiring that sometimes these guys sneak through. But, you know, what I would recommend to people is if you look at our two-star pitcher list, and it's going to change, and you got to watch Scott's column is really what you really want
to
focus
on. It's going to change so much. I'm so over two-star pitchers.
All right, but it's going to change a lot. But if you have any reservations about a guy who has two starts and his first start is on Tuesday, just go with the assumption that he's going to be a one-star guy. The Monday guys are obviously safer bets. With that said...
It depends if their teams are playing six games or seven.
True.
Very few were playing seven this past week, so you know there have been a lot of two-start disappointments, and there will continue to be because rosters are expanded and spot starts are popping up all the time. It's not a good time to stream two-star pitchers, just in general. Like, if you have pitchers you feel good about, whether or not they're making one start or two, shouldn't be your first priority.
So, do you want to do this segment or no? Like, should we recommend?
Yeah, I mean, we can still do it. Just understand it. Even after we were done with the podcast last week, it became clear some of the guys we talked about as two start options weren't. You know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, it's worth talking about. Just understand it's. You got to follow up on it. You can't just listen to this podcast and feel like you know what's going on two start wise.
Well, Joe Musgrove is someone who's been pitching pretty well. He's at St. Louis and at Milwaukee though, so those are tough matchups. Derek Rodriguez is 81% owned. He's got Atlanta and Colorado. Lucas Giolito is someone I'll be starting at Kansas City and at Baltimore.
Yeah, and the good thing about that is even if it's just the KC start, it's a really good matchup.
Yeah, so he's someone I'd recommend.
I like Derek Rodriguez and who was the other
Musgrove.
One? Musgrove. Yeah, Musgrove. I like them both more than Giolito because I think they're the kind of pitchers you would consider even in a one-start week, regardless of matchups.
So you're not looking forward to rolling out Mike Minor at the Angels and at the Padres?
Yeah, that would be dangerous, particularly if you weren't starting him as a relief pitcher eligible starting pitcher.
If you're in a deeper league, Brad Keller maybe makes two starts, and they'd be against the White Sox and the Twins.
In fact, Brad Keller. Well, Brad Keller's another one with really good matchups. Basically, the rest of the season. I think there's one. I actually was looking at this because I wrote about him in Waiver Wire this morning. I think he has four starts left. Three of them are against rebuilding clubs. So he's a good guy to have around. And he's also relief pitcher eligible.
Okay. All right. So I think that'll do it. So we've given you, if available, Derek Rodriguez. I mean, you could go with Mike Fiers, too. He's 82% owned at Baltimore and at Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Derek Rodriguez, Joe Musgrove, Lucas Giolito, Brad Keller. Nathan Eovaldi will be interesting. I'm not sure.
Forget it. He's been awful. Yeah. And you really don't want to chance him making only one start.
Yep. I agree. All right, news and notes. Shohei Ohtani could be the DH next season, according to Yahoo. We have a question about him later we'll get to.
Yahoo!
Kyle Schwarber sat with a back issue. John Gibbons is not going to be back next year, according to John Heyman. Michael Brantley sat with a sore foot, and Scooter Jeanette sat with a tender thigh. And that got me very hungry for chicken.
Tender thigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool KFC.
Kind of reminds me of Tender Heart Bear.
Tender Heart Bear? Is that a Care Bear?
That's the Care Bear.
Really?
The head Care Bear. Tenderheart. I think he was the, I don't know that they had ranks. Like, I don't know that they were that militaristic.
Yeah, you would think the Care Bears wouldn't really be about hierarchy, you know?
Everybody's but they just kind of gravitated around him, I feel like.
Okay.
Around Tenderheart. He had such a tender heart.
I did really did love the Care Bears growing up.
I mean, when I was like 3? Yeah.
Now,
that was my jam.
Your oldest son is how old?
3.
So, are you watching any TV shows with him that are making you nostalgic?
Like, am I showing him shows I used to watch?
Yeah, have you gotten to that point yet?
No, he has preferences. And, you know, most of the time it's not worth the fight.
What's his favorite show?
Peter Rabbit on Nick Jr.
Okay.
But, you know, he's big into Curious George.
Oh, see, that would make me nostalgic.
Paw Patrol. I didn't watch that. When did George come around?
I don't know. I don't remember watching. I remember reading the books.
Yeah, of course. The books have been around for decades. But the cartoon's been around a long time, too, but we're kind of old.
I feel like I've been watching
Sesame Street. I tried to get him into Sesame Street. That's certainly nostalgic. He just wasn't that into it.
All right. All right, then. Let me tell you, Scott, who I'm not going to be drafting next year. Zachary Greinke. Not interested.
Okay.
I just don't... It's weird, man. I just don't trust him. I've got a thing with him. I feel like he's the next Felix Hernandez because his velocity is so bad. He's a changeup-reliant pitcher. The innings are starting to get up there. He's getting up there in age. I don't see myself taking Zach Greinke because he's going to end up probably with a low 3s ERA, and I think he's more of a mid-3s ERA guy. And he's been not exactly bad on the road, but he's really benefited from the home ballpark, which shows to me that he's becoming a worse pitcher. So you can have Zach Greinke. I don't want him. You can have him. He's too old for me.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, I feel like he's so reliable and you know, there are so few of those pitchers who you count on to, you know, to handle an ace workload and pitch well in it. I mean, you know, they tend not to get the workload if they're not pitching well. But
yeah, he goes about 6 innings every average.
Well,
little
you know, I'm already looking
start.
Forward to next spring. He's throwing 84 miles per hour. And they're asking him about it, and he's like, I don't know, I worry about it every year. And so everybody starts freaking out, because that's happened like 3 years
but
in a row.
But eventually, right? I think the fall for Greinke is going to be swift, and I don't want to be part of it. What round would you take
Zach
Greinke
I don't
Greinke
think it
in?
Will be swift, because he doesn't... I worry about swift falls for guys who are so velocity-driven, and he's clearly not that. He's
That's true. And he's a great athlete. Great athlete. Fields his position well. Yeah. What round would you take Zach Greinke in?
What round were we taking him in this year? 3, 4? I guess with the spring concerns, he started falling around 5, 6. Same range.
All right. I'll take him in round 7. So I won't take him.
Yeah.
Emails part 1 at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. This is from Bill. Appreciated your Ohtani segment yesterday, but you guys and seemingly everyone in Fantasy Blurb Industries are speculating about next year. Just to be clear, for this fantasy playoff season, does everyone expect Shohei Ohtani, the hitter, to finish out the season as a DH?
No.
No?
He might. He might. And I'm not sure what having it before the season over, what having Tommy John surgery before the season's over buys him, because there's clearly not enough time for him to return as a pitcher next year either way. But you know, the Angels aren't playing for anything, and even though he can hit through it, doesn't mean he necessarily needs to be. So I'm not counting on it. Maybe he will. I'm not dropping him, you know.
Mm-hmm. And next email is from Peter. Is Zach Greinke droppable? He's been terrible lately. His matchups for the remainder of the season are tough. No, he's not droppable. But he is at Colorado and at Houston if he makes 2 starts next week. That is a little scary. A little scary.
Mm.
No, not scary.
Eh.
Okay.
I don't worry about Zach Greinke.
And then after that, it looks like Colorado at home, which is fine. Then like at San Diego. So I don't know. It depends on when his next turn is, I guess. But I don't know that all of his matchups are tough. Greg from Atlanta wants to know who you think will be in the Braves rotation next year, Scott.
Now, this is very interesting. And I'm making, throughout this podcast, I'm making a lot of references to a piece I just put the finishing touches on. I'm sure it'll be up probably by the time you're done listening to this podcast. 30 bold predictions for next year. And one of them, understand, these are meant to be bold. They're meant to really, you know, push the limits of what's plausible. But one of them, I think I even mentioned this on the show.
You did, yeah,
Sean,
you did.
Sean Newcomb doesn't make the rotation.
Yeah.
Because they have so many of those other options vying for spots. Among them, Tuki Toussaint, Bryce Wilson, Max Fried, Kyle Wright, who's up as a reliever this month. Their first round pick from last year. Who else?
Mike Soroka.
Mike Soroka, absolutely. He's probably a front runner. Luis Gohara. I don't think they've given up on him. So, yeah. My guess, most likely scenario, is it's the four we all expect to be there. Foltynewicz, Gausman, Newcomb, yes, and Julio Teheran. And that Mike Soroka claims the fifth spot. That's my guess. I think Toussaint would probably be the second most likely to.
Ben from Iowa, Gattis or Mejia rest of season? Roto.
Needs batting average. I'll go Mejia. Gattis, not playing enough.
Goodbye. From Brian, Mejia, I might be the only person in America starting him in an AL-only league. Bye-bye, Mike Zunino. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works, but if you're able to, have at it.
This one is from, I got to look up this team in the scam league. This one is from, in case of fires, break the glass now. Can I get a shout out for my dominating performance in the For the People League in the regular season? I have several friends who listen to the podcast, and a brief soliloquy about my fantasy awesomeness would go a long way towards permanent bragging rights and would probably help me be more popular with them as well. Either way, I want to extend a genuine thanks to you guys and Heath for the invite into the league. No matter how the playoffs shake out, it has been an amazing experience. That is from Rob. In case of fire, break the glass now. His record is currently 131 wins, 68 losses, and 11 ties. He has 131 wins. Nobody else has more than 119 wins, and I'm wondering if he had a first-round bye. Oh, wait, we're in the playoffs right now. So, yeah, he had 12 more wins than the second-best team. Let's look at this team and see what was so great and so wonderful.
Isn't this the team we beat 9-0 like with 3 weeks to go?
Maybe.
Yeah, just want to turn it back around to making us look great.
This is a 16-team categories league. 16-team.
16.
Like, you would never in a million years think, oh, this is a great team. Oh, wait, he's got Chris Sale and Trevor Bauer on the DL. Okay, anyway, here are the hitters. James McCann, Encarnacion, LeMahieu. This is pretty good. Suarez, Machado, Brantley, Markakis, Starling Marte, and Gleyber Torres.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a rough start with James McCann, but whatever.
Yeah, Encarnacion, LeMahieu, Suarez, Machado, Brantley, Markakis, Marte, Gleyber Torres.
I would take that lineup. You know, I feel like I'd be in the mix in a 12-team league if I had that lineup.
I think he's going to lose. Because Bauer and Sale are on the DL. That sucks.
That's not good.
Buchholz, Kopech, Pivetta, Velasquez, Ken Giles, Justin Miller, and Wade Davis. I don't know. You deserve to win.
I mean, it's bad luck, obviously, losing those two guys to injury.
And Sean Doolittle as well. You deserve better, Rob. Good luck. I hope Chris Sale's back by the time you're next round starts, and that would certainly help. Rotation time. Who do you trust next week? Steven Strasburg at Philadelphia, Kyle Hendricks against Milwaukee, Shane Bieber at Tampa Bay.
I'd be okay with all three of them, even Bieber. Biebs has good matchups down the stretch, too.
Fringy starting pitchers. Who do you trust next week? Anibal Sanchez at San Francisco, Luis Castillo against the Dodgers.
I mean, it wasn't an altogether bad start for Castillo. But he did give up 3 home runs. So against the Dodgers, I think that's a no.
He has given up 27 home runs this year. Yeah, they've got some thump. Anibal Sanchez at San Francisco, that's probably a start, right?
Yep.
What the heck? Like, what? How is that? Scott, how? I just don't get it.
I don't know. September, though. What do you... You want me to deny it now?
No, I just don't get it. It's, you know, Anibal Sanchez, one of the most surprising things in fantasy this year, I'd say. 3.09 ERA, a strikeout per inning. In the bullpen, Brad Brock got a save. I'm guessing Minter was unavailable. He threw 36 pitches on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But Brock has a 0.54 ERA with Atlanta and a 1.32 whip, so you tell me if it's sustainable. Torrey Lovello said that Brad Boxberger is still the closer for the Diamondbacks, but he's been struggling. And Jesse Chavez got a save for the Cubs with Pedro Strop pitching the 9th in a tie game on the road. Then they took the lead in the 10th and Chavez came in and got the save, and Chavez worked to the heart of the order. And Strop pitched against 8-9-1 in the order. So anything jump out at you here with the bullpen?
No. I said through a yawn. I'm sorry. How am I yawning in the middle of a podcast?
Because we're talking about the bullpen. Boring things.
It's Friday. I'm tired. Sorry.
All right, Scott. Some hitters from yesterday. 4 good ones, 1 bad one. Here are the 4 good ones. Hunter Renfroe, he homered. Francisco Mejia, he homered twice. Jason Kipnis has actually been all right lately. Last 32 games, he has an 812 OPS, Jason Kipnis. And Johan Camargo, since the All-Star break. The plate discipline has gone away. They've been replaced by home runs. He's got an 883 OPS since the All-Star break, Johan Camargo. Renfroe, Mejia, Kipnis, and Camargo. Thoughts on that group?
Well, I like most of them for one purpose or another. The one I like least is Kipnis. I don't have a lot of use for him, even though he's been okay recently. You know, it's only been okay. And
Ipkiss out.
Ipkiss?
The mask is so bad. I was watching it a couple weeks ago. It is so bad.
I always think of Stanley Ipkiss when I hear Jason Kipnis.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm not the one.
Jason Kipnis is better than the mask.
I watched The Mask so much. Speaking of things we watched when we were young.
Terrible.
There were 4 movies that my siblings and I just watched over and over and over again, and The Mask was one of them. So I haven't seen it probably in 20 years, but I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, it's really bad. Here's a problem with Renfroe and Mejia. They have 5 games next week. Ugh. Is that a problem?
That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, that could mean 2 starts for Mejia, you know?
It could. But Renfroe has been... I still think if home runs are your priority right now, Renfroe has to be in your lineup. Just because he's providing so many of them. Camargo, I feel like, has been underrated for a long time now. And the ceiling isn't particularly high, but the floor is high. And like he just rarely steers you wrong if you plug him in your lineup. Good fill-in guy, especially since he's eligible at both third base and shortstop.
And Kendrys Morales is 48% owned since he homered 8 times in 7 games. Kendrys Morales is 4-for-26 with no extra base hits, 4 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Seems like a bad time to have picked up Kendrys Morales. Do you think he's appropriately owned at 48% or what?
I think it's a little low. There were some schedule issues that came up when he was having that, 8 home runs in 8 games or whatever that stretch
7
was.
7 games. 8 home runs in 7 games.
Yeah, you looked ahead at his schedule and saw there could be trouble for him. But he's still a pretty good power hitter. Probably deserves to be more than 48% owned.
I need a new segment. I need something different right now. I need to shake things up.
Shake it up.
Let's regulate. You sang the wrong song. Let's regulate. All right. Cody in Washington needs the fantasy regulators. I'm in the last week of my head-to-head categories league. I need 3 wins to secure first place and finish in the money. All right, needs 3 wins in a categories league. I am playing my father-in-law, who got me into fantasy baseball, paid my league fee, and is the only person I can talk fantasy with. My father-in-law is fighting for a playoff berth and could really use the 6 extra category wins that I can spare.
No.
Do I throw the categories without his knowledge and give him a shot at the playoffs, or do I show him how well he has groomed me and whoop his ass?
Listen. It's not about you and him. It's about everybody else. That's not fair. You can't. Who's he competing with? You can't, you know, give him a golden path to the playoffs and leave that other guy out to dry. I mean, it's one thing if you're having a one-on-one competition, you want to kind of, you know, let him win to earn some goodwill. But when other people are being impacted, like,
yeah,
he can't do that.
We'll start over. We'll do more regulation. Here we go. This is from... Oh, no name. We have no trade processing time and no trade deadline because we're all grown-ass men and friends. This trade goes through the day before the playoffs start.
Oh, and you're upset about it.
Yep. The player what giving up Arenado. Somebody gave up Arenado in a desperate, futile attempt to sneak into the playoffs. The problem is the player receiving Arenado is the second seed, and I'm the first seed. I can see both sides, but regardless, this is a garbage trade. Perhaps he makes it into the playoffs. He won't. It was a Hail Mary, only to lose the first round anyway. So please help, regulators. Team A gives Nolan Arenado, and Team B gives Clay Buchholz, Lance Lynn, and Brian Johnson. So he basically
obviously a bad trade.
He gave up Arenado just to like get some extra starts and get a playoff spot.
Obviously a bad trade that may well get him in the playoffs. So I mean, I don't know exactly what his needs are, but I'm sure this was a thought out plan, a trade he knew could get he could get through quickly and would fill out his lineup in a way that would allow him to compete at least for the 1 week. So you could understand what he did it, why he did it. And I don't think you can do anything about it. The solution is to have a trade deadline. Why not?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. All right, well, congratulations to the second place team for getting Nolan Arenado, and that has been regulated. Thank you, everybody. All right, more of your emails a little bit later. Let's get on with the show. Let's take a look. What are we going to do now? The most added list is a Friday staple. All right, here's a look at the most added list. Let's see who number one is. I actually don't even have an earthly clue who it's going to be. It's going to be Tyler White. He's now 67% owned, sure. Jake Junis is number two on the most added list. Worth starting even in a one-start week, right? Jake Junis?
Yes. Yes. His matchups are good down the stretch, too, just like Keller.
Is he a two-star pitcher? Junis,
I don't believe so. No. He was this past week, assuming that still holds.
Sure. We got Franmil Reyes, who we think is worth adding. Luke Voit.
Yeah. Franmil Reyes is actually a good answer to the earlier question of somebody you could add in a dynasty league who you think could help next year. Assuming he's not already on. He's only 27% on.
Keep in mind, he is 5 games next week. Luke Voit is also 27% owned. He's number 4 on the most added list. Tucker Barnhart is number 6 or 7 on the most added list. Is that someone you would start over like Yasmani Grandal or Wilson Contreras?
No, I don't think so. Just not enough. Like, he's a top 12 catcher by default, but not enough upside.
There's like no power there. He's slugging .378. There's no power there. On the year, let's see how many home runs he has. He has 9 home runs. That's as many as Wilson Contreras, I believe. We would be cautious with Wade LeBlanc, right? And Adam Plutko.
Yes. I don't have a great deal of confidence in either.
All right. Most added list. I think we talked about most of these guys. So I'm going to move on. And do you have any hitting advice yet, or do we need to check the website?
You're going to have to check that out later.
Okay, we'll do that, Scott.
Check it out later. I was working on 30 bold predictions last night, son.
Okay.
No time for matchups.
So I'll just take a look at the two-star pitcher list, and we'll put a grain of salt or an asterisk on everything. You're going to start Zach Greinke at Colorado at Houston?
Yes.
Miles Michaelis, Pittsburgh and the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think so. Helps that the first of those matchups is the more favorable one.
Quintana, Milwaukee and Cincinnati at home.
I mean, in a points league, probably. Probably not in a roto.
Roark at Philadelphia, at Atlanta.
Points, yes. Roto, no.
Ryu at Cincinnati, at St. Louis.
Probably in points, but it's highly likely it'll just be the Cincinnati start. So weigh that into your decision.
Sean Newcomb at San Francisco, home against Washington.
Nah.
Mike Fiers at Baltimore, at Tampa Bay.
Sure.
And Derek Rodriguez, we like. Nathan Eovaldi, we don't. Andrew Heaney, Texas and Seattle at home.
Eh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Points league, yeah. Man, I'm sorry.
He's tired. Scott works a crazy schedule. He works nights. I'm trying to help you out here. He works nights. He gets home really late. And then on Friday, he comes back to the office for a day shift. So give him a break. Giolito at Kansas City, at Baltimore. Even if he makes one start, he could be worth using. Mike Minor, Scott's not enthralled about it, at the Angels, at San Diego. And then we got Jaime Barria, Texas and Seattle.
Oh, let's say no. He never gets quality starts, even when he's quote-unquote good.
Jaime Barria. No on Odorizzi. Yes on Brad Keller. And Wade Miley, Aaron Sanchez, Jason Vargas, Trevor Richards, Liriano, Wainwright, Cashner, Senzatella, Alcantara, Trevor May, Homer Bailey. Nah.
Nah.
Alcantara, 11% owned. At the Mets, at the Phillies.
No, I mean, I'm definitely interested in watching him down the stretch. Obviously, it was really good last time. But putting your trust in him now seems like a bad idea.
Okay. Well, I think we should look at some weekend streamers. I'm going to go through games Friday through Sunday and tell you and give you some kind of questionable guys, and you tell me if you'd start them. DeSclafani against the Padres.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
How about Joe Ross against the Cubs?
No.
Austin Gomber at the Tigers.
Well, streaming against the Tigers certainly worked out this week. That's the best one so far, Gomber. I don't think that's unthinkable.
Okay. Gonna write it down. Gomber at Detroit. Dylan Bundy at the Rays.
Can't do it.
Derek Holland at the Brewers.
Nah, that matchup's not good enough.
Felix Pena at the White Sox.
Yeah, I like that one.
Ooh, okay.
That's a yes.
I'm going to write it down.
Felix Pena is underrated.
Okay.
Misses a lot of bats with that slider.
How about... I think that's basically it for Friday. All right, let's move on to Saturday. So Friday, the winners are Gomber at Detroit and Felix Pena at the White Sox. Wei and Chen at the Pirates and Ivan Nova in that same game.
Inclined to say no to both.
Robbie Erlin or Matt Harvey, Padres at Reds.
No.
Matt Boyd against the Cardinals.
I don't hate it, but probably a no.
Okay, Matt Shoemaker at the White Sox.
No.
How about Zach Eflin at the Mets?
Certainly not an automatic start. But I think among the streamers, he's one of the better choices.
So who do we like on Saturday? Nobody? Eflin?
Eflin and Boyd's not a definite no.
Okay. Boyd at the White Sox, home against the... Wait, no, Boyd is... Yeah, home against the White Sox. No.
No, it wasn't the White Sox. It was Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So we got Gomber, Felix Pena, Eflin, and Boyd. We go to Sunday. Let's see who we like here. Velasquez at the Mets?
Could do worse. It's not bad.
Alex Cobb at Jalen Beeks?
Really? Jalen Beeks is actually going to start?
That's what it says. I don't know. It's often wrong. Yeah.
If no. I knew Beeks was starting, maybe he'd be a yes.
John Gant and Michael Fulmer. Fulmer's been better at home this year.
Yeah, he's coming off a rough outing, though. Man. I don't love it. Rather not.
How about Jake Brigham and Trevor Williams? Marlins and the Pirates.
Okay. Clarify what team Brigham pitches for.
Trevor Williams?
Yeah,
I think Trevor Williams
is a yes. I would say yes to Trevor Williams.
Now, we have Andrew Heaney slated to start on Sunday, so he may not be a two-star pitcher after all.
Well, what the heck? I'm going to have to figure that one out, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Trevor Cahill at home against the Rangers.
I don't think so.
Tuki Toussaint at the Diamondbacks.
Just don't think he's going to last long enough.
Okay. So, Trevor Williams, maybe Fulmer, maybe Velasquez, but Trevor Williams looks like the winner there. Gomber, Felix Pena, Eflin, Boyd, Fulmer. Not a great weekend for two-star streamers, but I think I would go with Trevor Williams against the Marlins as my favorite, the way he's been pitching.
Yeah, probably. He probably is. Probably is the favorite.
Okay. How about that? And we're going to finish off with emails part two. This is from Josh from the coast. Which coast do you think he's from, Scott?
He is from the West Coast, the Pacific.
Wow. Yeah. Freeman or Rendon in a points league rest of season?
Freeman.
This is from Scott. Dear Dutch and Aceveda. Aceveda.
Those are guys from Farmington, the Shield.
That's right.
Farmington?
Yeah, Farmington. Right? Yeah. The barn. The question from Scott is, my league has an innings limit. I'm on pace to go over it. I have 178 innings remaining. I have Verlander, Carrasco, Clevinger, Godley, Kopech, and a bunch of relievers. So he's on pace to go way over his innings. He has a solid lead in whip and Ks minus walks, whatever. Should I start Kershaw at Colorado? That's tonight. Kershaw, Colorado. Should he start him?
I mean, if you don't feel like you have much to gain from it, but you have something to lose, maybe not. I don't know what your other pitchers are, what you say, who else you're going to use those innings on. But I can understand sitting him.
Ed and Eddie. You ever see that show?
I am aware of it. I don't recall actually watching it.
This is from Gus. 12-team head-to-head categories league. Should I drop Yasmani Grandal to pick up Tucker Barnhart?
No.
From Kevin in Texas, who should I sit in the first round of my playoffs? Jesus Aguilar, Scooter Gennett, Justin Turner, Gleyber Torres, or Reese Hoskins? Aguilar, Gennett, Turner, Torres, and Hoskins.
Well, you mentioned the lefty thing with
Gennett. Gennett thing's interesting.
I think I'd sit Gleyber Torres, but I haven't, I don't have the matchups, so it would be matchups dependent.
He's facing Minnesota and Toronto, I believe, and like not only is Gennett facing lefties, but it's like Kershaw, Rich Hill, Cole Hamels are three of the lefties.
Yeah, he's been hot, but yeah, that might be. I mean, because Torres is obviously a good choice too. With choices that good, I think. Yeah, sitting Gennett probably makes the most sense.
And an email from Daniel. Dear Uncle Adam, can you please rank these three pitchers for next season? Bumgarner, Clevinger, Marquez. Oh, that is a tough one, Scott. I'll let Uncle Scott do it.
It is a tough one because one of my bold predictions is Madison Bumgarner sinks further into the hole where the Giants lost Barry Zito and Tim Lincecum. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and another bold prediction could be like Erman Marquez is going to be a top 15 pitcher or something.
Another bold prediction was the Rockies have two top five Cy Young finalists. Wow. I wasn't holding back on the bold.
Wow.
I went bold. But if I'm going to be rational rather than bold and sensible and all the things that good analysts should be, I'm going to rank those three for next year. Bumgarner, Clevenger, and Marquez. Could totally see it playing out in the reverse order, though.
Yeah, I wonder where Marquez goes. Scott and I have been raving about him for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we'll see if people are on board next year. I mean, the Coors Field thing is always going to be tough, but he's just so good. All right, Scott White, you have yourself a wonderful weekend. You hear me?
You too, Adam.
Thank you. I will. Get some rest. That is Scott. I am Adam. Enjoy your Kokomo Friday, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.